In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome back, fight fans, to the big fight reaction to Artur Beterbiev's two-round demolition job of Joe Smith Jr. Well, we can't really be surprised at this. Me and Lukey did the preview for it, Johnston, and we talked about how this isn't going to be a 12-round fight, and I think everybody who knows boxing, and even maybe the casual audience, kind of felt the same about this fight. I thought Joe Smith Jr. would go a little bit further on than where he got to, but you know, quite honestly, it just didn't seem like he was there in some respects. It was like the lights were on, but it didn't feel like nobody was home with Joe Smith. Maybe that the magnitude of this fight had gotten to him. And one surprising stat about it as well, I never knew that Joe Smith had not been dropped before that fight, and that fight just shown after four knockdowns that, you know, Beterbiev, he's an absolute monster of the division, like we keep saying, and we keep going on about the fact that somebody, or can anybody, actually beat Beterbiev. Based on what we've seen so far, it doesn't appear to be the case. Lukey said last week, maybe as he's getting older, he is 37 now, maybe someone will come in and surprise him. Beterbiev's even talking about a move up to heavyweight, Johnston. So what did you make about his demolition job on Joe Smith Jr.? With you not being on the preview show, did you expect it as quick as it was?
Not at all, no. I'll be honest with you, I was disappointed with Joe Smith Jr. I've been one of his biggest fans, to be honest with you, the blue collar fighter. I've always enjoyed the way he's fought. I enjoyed the way he fought against Bivol. I thought he had all the attributes to at least go the distance against Beterbiev, and I thought he had the attributes to maybe get put down, but maybe be the first guy to actually take him the distance, because I do rate him. I do. I still do, even after this. But I mean, you pointed it out straight away that something wasn't quite right. The game plan, whatever it was all wrong. I mean, you do not, whatever you do when you're fighting someone like Beterbiev, is go toe-to-toe with him. You don't slug it out with him. And from that very moment, it was almost like he was looking at the Callum Johnson fight and thinking, I'm going to try and do the same. And if I connect with him this time, I'll put him away. You can't fight Beterbiev like that. You've got to be smart with it. You are stupid to think that you're a bigger puncher than he is. And you needed to just bide your time. Even if you lose the first sort of 5-6 rounds by being on your toes, if you like, not getting hit as often as he was, and trying to slug it out of him. I mean, he got hurt. It's a bit of a flash knockdown, and then he got hurt again. Another sort of, he was up on his feet too quickly. I think he needed to calm down and he needed to settle down. He did neither. And then he went straight at him again. And then that wonderful uppercut just his senses were all over the shot after that uppercut in the second round. And the referee was well within his rights to call it off there and then, because Joe Smith just wasn't at the races. And so I think he will go back to it. He will look at that fight back and he'll be like, what was I doing? He needed to box smart. He needed to just lose those first few rounds for me and then look to impose himself, because, you know, Poturyev doesn't go that far in fights. He's had a few fights that have gone sort of into 9, 10 and 12, but against guys that nowhere near the standard of Joe Smith Jr. And I think Joe Smith just made errors there, bad errors, and he got exposed badly, Sean. For me, I think although Poturyev has shown he's got great power, which we already knew, it was an easy night for him because Joe Smith, for me, I felt, had the wrong game plan.
It made it easy for him, didn't he? He just played into his hands, is what he did. Like, you rightly assessed how that fight went down. He just played into the hands of Poturyev. You're trying to punch with a puncher. And yeah, Joe Smith can punch as well. But when you've got a guy who has got the knockout record that he has, you don't do it. You like you say, you get on your bike a little bit, you tire him out, you pop your shots off. You know, I was watching before that fight on the night, I was actually watching Usyk fighting Poturyev in the amateurs, and, you know, Usyk did it the right way. I mean, yes, obviously it was good a few years ago when he's fought in the amateurs, but if you look at Usyk's style, it's not changed too much in the professional side of the sport. And he, the way he was getting in and out and hitting Poturyev, and he won this amateur fight, by the way, and I need to add that he won the amateur fight against Poturyev. Poturyev did catch him with a really good shot, and that power for Poturyev's always been there. But the reason I'm talking about that fight is because, you know, if you're going to beat Poturyev, you need to follow a similar blueprint to what Usyk did in the amateur fight. Go and check it out, guys. It's on YouTube. It's a good little scrap, actually. A really good little scrap. But if you're someone who's coming up against Poturyev now going forward, you've got to use that as a little bit of a blueprint. And I think the only man that might be able to use that blueprint and might be able to potentially outbox Poturyev is the only other man everybody wants to see him face in the division, and that's Dmitry Bivol. That fight's the one that should be made, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen because Anthony Yard is currently the mandatory for the WBO title. He's got himself into that position. He was there ringside watching the fight. They've already spoke about him between Anthony Yard and Tunde Ejaye. They've already chat a bit of rubbish, really. They're basically saying they can do a better job than what Smith did, and they'll beat Poturyev. And to be honest with you, Anthony Yard's a big puncher. I don't see that happening either. I see Poturyev wiping him out completely and Huds moving on and getting to finally see the Bivol fight. I think I'd like to see the Bivol fight next, but it looks like the way it's going to go is it's going to be Gilberto Ramirez versus Bivol, and then it's going to be Artur Poturyev versus Anthony Yard. Hopefully then with a view to them meeting after their respective fights, should they both come through unscathed, of course. But what it's done for me is just solidified my thoughts about Poturyev yet again, that he is, who can beat him? You know, he is a great fighter. He can probably move up. He's spoken about it moving up because maybe he is struggling to make the weight. I know that's something Lukey emphasised on in the preview, is how much longer is he going to be able to make this weight for as he's getting older. He's mentioned his desire to go to the heavyweight division. I mean, with that type of power, you're carrying that power up, putting more muscle strength in, maybe he could cause some ruptures in the heavyweight division. I'm not so sure myself personally. I think he will definitely beat some B-level fighters. I'm not so sure if he'll beat any of the big guys. I mean, imagine if he did, like, and he was able to move up to heavyweight, and he was able to have a rematch with Alexander Usyk. I mean, that, in my mind, that's just me getting a bit wild and fantasizing about it, but I'd probably love to see that again in the pros, because that was a brilliant fight in the amateurs. But realistically, I mean, he needs to clean up the division. He needs to fight and beat Dmitry Bivol to then become an undisputed champion in the division. And really, the same goes for Bivol. We've spoke about him beating Canelo recently. You know, if he wants to be regarded as one of the best, he needs to beat Poturyev. So really, this is the fight that we all want to see before either of these two guys can move on.
It is. I mean, Bivol Poturyev is the fight, isn't it? It really is. And as you say, it looks like that Poturyev is going to have to face Anthony Yard. Anthony Yard obviously putting himself forward for it, fancies it. It's a decent payday for him. It gets his name out there. He was on the show. They were speaking about Yard on the show. And yes, I mean, I think he does better than what Smith does. But that's because Smith just went into that fight all wrong. It was just a bad game plan from him. I don't know what on earth he was thinking, and whether that was even the game plan or whether the occasion got to him and he just thought, I'm just going to try and go for it. But that is not the Smith Jr. that I've been watching and been admiring from afar, and thinking that this guy could potentially at least take someone like Baturvi of the 12-round distance. Not saying he would have won it, but I felt like he had enough to have at least done that. And I just feel that, yeah, it didn't work out well for him. So, I mean, it's a come again for Smith. I mean, he's 32, but he's still more than capable of sticking around and whatever Baturvi decides to do, or Bivol, whether he can get a chance, you know. I mean, he's fought on both. Baturvi and Bivol need to be the fight. You've got Gilberto Ramirez, as you mentioned, and that is not an easy fight for Bivol. Ramirez is a very good fighter. 44-0, that is nowhere, you know, he hasn't fought top level opposition in all those 44 fights, but I do like him. And I've enjoyed his victories and his performances. So, and he's a big guy. So that's going to be a good fight for Bivol to prepare himself for the Baturvi fight, actually. And I'm with you, though, with Yard. I just feel that Yard isn't as clever enough to be able to keep his distance long enough away from Baturviev. And I do think that when he does get hit, eventually it's going to be a lights out thing for him. Baturviev, the one thing I noticed is, one thing I identified on the ESPN show, actually, was the fact that how fast Baturviev is. He's actually at 37. He's still quick. If he does move up to that heavyweight division, he will lose that speed. And therefore, I think he loses some of that power. So I don't feel like he will necessarily be as much of a big hitter in the heavyweight division, but you know, as you say, the B-level fighters, but maybe a massive payday against someone like an Usyk is something he's probably looking at for the final curtain of his boxing career. But at the minute, look, it needs to be Bivol. I think he gets through Yard. I think Bivol's got a harder fight against Ramirez, and then I think the winner of Bivol, Ramirez, Baturviev, and then everyone deserves, that is it. I think they're the best three. You got Callum Smith in there, but he's not really been active enough for me. So, and we've got some youngsters in Yard and Boratzi. But yeah, Bivol Baturviev all day after they've come through their defences.
I'd like to see Joe Smith Jr. maybe fight Callum Smith. I think that wouldn't be a too bad of a fight for both of them. I think Callum Smith needs to put his name in the mix, and to do that he needs to beat a guy who's a former world champion in Joe Smith Jr. If he can do that, then he throws his name right in the mix then to fight the likes of Bivol and Baturviev. That's what he needs to do. You mentioned Buatsi. We've talked about Buatsi a few weeks ago when he got the victory over Craig Richards. So Buatsi's again another one who, you know, he could potentially face Joe Smith Jr. There's options here, especially for them two British fighters, and definitely for Joe Smith, who could quite easily be brought over to the UK and paid handsomely to come and fight over here against one of those two guys. That's a good, you know, route for him, really, back to world honours. Because if he beats one of them two guys, you know, he upsets the momentum, he upsets the apple cart a little bit, because I suppose even though he's a former world champion, maybe the bookies will have Boazzi and Callum Smith as the favourites, and I think that's potentially a good fight for either of them. And then that might lead into the winner of Baturviev versus Bivol, should that happen. I mean, it's all us really sort of fantasizing about how we want it to go, but the reality is it might not even go anywhere near that, and these two guys might end up being fighters that end up eluding each other throughout their careers, which would be a crying shame if we don't see Baturviev Bivol in the division. However, we have seen a lot of undisputed title reigns quite recently. And I'm confident that because of this happening now and the way things have started to shift a little bit, maybe, just maybe, we will get to see this fight, and it will give us an undisputed light heavyweight champion, which, if it's Baturviev and he moves up and then he vacates the titles, then that leaves the door open for all the other guys we're talking about. But if it's Bivol, I think Baturviev then possibly moves up anyway. And then, you know, Bivol's the man at the division. So it is great. The light heavyweight division is a great division at the moment. And it was an enjoyable destruction to see. I felt sorry for Joe, don't get me wrong, but it was enjoyable to watch Baturviev at work. Great performance, great victory. He moves on now. He's now got the WBO to add to his IBF and WBC light heavyweight titles. Well, the undercard of that, I only really tuned in to the one fight that I was interested in, and that was Abraham Nova and Robesy Ramirez. I spoke about this in the lead up to the fight this weekend with Johnston, you not being around. We had Lukey on. Lukey gave his thoughts on this particular fight, and You know, I've got to be honest, I was impressed by Ramirez getting that fifth round stoppage over Nova, who was 21-0 going into it. I think with the early setback in Ramirez's career, I think people felt like maybe he isn't going to reach the heights and the potential, but he's now just picked up two minor titles, the USBA featherweight title, the WBO global featherweight title, which really puts him in with a shout of fighting some of these great fighters in the featherweight division. I think what he has shown with his amateur background and his transition to the professional side of the sport is that he's certainly going to be a force to be reckoned with. And I think it's at this point now where you start to talk about him with the names at the top of the division, and you look around at the top 10 of the division. There's no reason now why they can't look at him fighting someone like a Leo Santa Cruz or a Ray Vargas, or, you know, potentially even a Josh Warrington or a Mauricio Lara. There's no reason why you can't mention his name with theirs now, because I think for me, you know, after 11 fights in his career, I think he's proven that he is ready for that step up. If he's had two great victories back to back, I think if he gets another fight in this year and then looks at bigger fights next year, I'd really look forward to seeing him in with any of them names in the top 10.
Yeah, and I'm with you. And what a great finish. I mean, lovely shot to end that fight, stunning shot, and really impressed with the finish. And, you know, you do wonder as well with these Cuban fighters as well, like, you know, we're going to start seeing a lot more of these with the professionals. Well, now, not, you know, they can now turn professional without no backlash, if you like. So we're going to see more Cubans coming through all the different weights. But look, it was a good win against Nova, a fantastic finish. I mean, the other fight that is coming up is on, I only know this because it was on ESPN, and they're also showing the fight, is the Dog Bay is fighting Gonzalez. So whether, you know, we're keeping an eye on that, and that could be a fight that could be made at some point. But yeah, I'm with you. You know, he needs to be looking at those top 10. The Santa Cruz would be a good fight. I think he needs another couple of more. Wouldn't be surprised if you see a little Kiko Martinez in there, because he's not getting nowhere. He seems to be that guy that people step to see if they can reach that level. But yeah, look, that finish though, beautiful shot, absolutely stunning shot. I love seeing knockouts like that. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where he goes from here, but definitely a great performance from him. And yeah, so he's another name in a division that we like very much.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. Give the active people in your life something they'll truly appreciate. Performance apparel from Vuori. Whether they're into running, surfing, hiking, or even just casual walks around the block, there's something for everyone. And if you're not sure what to gift them, you can't go wrong with something from Vuori's Dream Knit collection. It's the perfect gift and so comfortable. Get 20% off your first purchase today at Vuori, Vuori.com/Spotify.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to skip back to Friday. One major UK card, if you can call it major. I'd probably say it's more like a glorified small hall event, this one, and that was at the Echo Arena in Liverpool. We got to see the return of Nathan Gorman at heavyweight, blasting out his opponent Thomas Salek in one round. An impressive performance, actually, from Gorman. And Salek hasn't got a bad record, 17-3 going into the fight. It was more about where Gorman was at, because obviously Gorman, as you know, since he's lost to Daniel Dubois in 2019, and then obviously COVID affected, you know, the level of activity, he'd had two fights after Dubois, both victories, and it was another good victory for him. But it's a case of, now I've seen him do that, now I want to see what he does next, because the domestic heavyweight scene, as we know, is absolutely buzzing. Again, another great UK domestic scene that we're really enjoying at the moment. You know, he is definitely in with a shout of being probably in the top 10 of the division in terms of the domestic scene. You look at the guys that are around him at the moment, and you're looking at people like Fabio Wardley. You're looking at people like your Derek Chisora's. I know obviously he's fighting Kubrat Pulev now, but I can't see any other fights past that for Gorman, because the only other people that, you know, may be of interest behind him is, you know, the likes of Cash Ali or David Adelaide or even Johnny Fisher, but they're very early into their career, so I can't really see what value there would be on the domestic scene for him to fight the likes of fighters like that. But then you look around like the European and the world scene, and he's probably in the top 50 maybe in the world at the moment, Nathan Gorman. And I think what he needs to be doing is he needs to be looking around, and they need to be putting him in with tougher opponents. You know, maybe looking at the likes of Jared Anderson or Jermaine Franklin from America would be good names. Maybe even letting him fight someone like an aged Marius Wack or a Mahmoud Char. You know, there may be them four names, in fact, could be good names for Nathan Gorman. Maybe even someone like Junior Farr, who's recently just lost to Lucas Brown. You know, maybe these are the types of fights he needs now with these type of fighters to get him back into contention, to really be in with a shout of having a big fight again. Because I don't think it's going to be for a while until he gets anywhere near a major fight. I think he needs to really prove himself once again. He started back at the bottom after his loss to Dubois in 2019, and he's now about trying to get him back to the top. Would you suggest that he needs to do something similar then, Johnston? Do you think he needs to fight guys like I'm mentioning, or do you think there's any other route for him back to the sort of top end of the domestic scene and the European scene?
Yeah, I think Fabio Wardley's a decent shout. I mean, Dave Allen was another name that sort of sprang to mind after the victory. But, I mean, I hate to say this, but when I watched the fight, you know, Gorman isn't a big puncher. Honestly, he's not. He's a big guy. I mean, if he hit us, we'll be out on a completely wiped out. But for me, you know, it's one of those, I hate to say it, but look, we do our history of boxing, we always see these fights where we'll have a trainer that'll have a little word with one of the other trainers, stick him in the ring with someone, don't actually necessarily mention it to the fighter, but you know, if he gets it, just make sure he goes down in that first round. We need to get him a little bit of for confidence booster, really. I do think that still happens in the game today, where they'll give chuck the fella an extra few quid and just say to him, when he hits you, make sure you go down. If you'd be naive to think that still doesn't happen, I think it still does. But in terms of Gorman, I think he needs more of those fights. And as you say, Junior Farr is a great shout. I think someone like even a Tony Yoka, Junior Farr on the back end of their defeats, Bernard Stiverne, those type of fellas, I think are the ones he should be looking at next. I think if he looks at a Fabio Wardley, I think Wardley's too far ahead of him. I think Wardley gets rid of him. I think he just needs to maintain a decent level, step sideways steps, if you like, all the way up to the point where he can maybe take on a Volin or a, you know, even Lucas Brown, you know, those type of fellas. I think that's where he's at the minute. And I think mentally, that's him getting beaten by Dubois, I think it affected him. So I think he just needs to get himself back mentally, and with a few decent victories, I think he'll do that. And then he can look at those extra fights, because I just think it's a step too far. And I think he'd become a cropper again, and it's just going to damp his confidence.
Well, one thing we did find out from this card on Friday is what weight Josh Kelly seems to be campaigning at now. So he was a welterweight. He's fought at 154.25 in his last fight against Peter Kramer, and he got a TKO in the fourth round, but he was cut over his left eye in the second. I think it was an okay performance from Josh Kelly, given the issues he's been having. You know, the loss to Evan Incian, I think, has really taken something out of him. And I don't know if that's been a mental more than physical thing that he's been going through outside of the ring. I don't want to sit and speculate that it is, but to sort of looking on the outside in, it feels like he's obviously gone up in weight. He's struggled with his weight. He's struggled to get it back down. He can't make welterweight anymore, so they decided to test the waters at the super welterweight division. And I thought he looked okay against Peter Kramer. Peter Kramer's a pretty decent fighter on these shows. Domestic fighter, fights a lot on the smaller hall shows. Has had his fair share of wins and losses. But you know, it was good to see Kelly back, and I think he needs a few of these, as you said about Nathan Gorman, I think he needs a few confidence booster fights before we can really start to see if he will be of any threat to the world level in this division, because we know how good, again, the super welterweight division is at the moment as well. So I think he needs a few fights to settle into the weight before he starts stepping up. And we also need to know whether or not that Avanincian fight has affected him, or how badly it has affected him, and that loss in that fashion. So I was happy to see him back. I'm glad they've got the weight issues seemingly sorted, but it's going to probably be at least another year before we're talking about Josh Kelly again, in the sense that, you know, he can actually move forward, but he's got all the talent in the world as well.
Yeah, he has. He was a big deal, wasn't he, on Sky Sports at one point, and he was ahead of Conor Benn, and how quickly that changes from one defeat. Now Conor Benn seems to be the man looking at being fighting the contenders and pushing on for a world title, and Josh Kelly, since that defeat, he's just dropped right down, as you say, a bit like Nathan Gorman. But look, he's moving into super welterweight division, which is probably a better division for him. You know, when you look at the super welter division internationally, and you think Charlo's cleaned up at the minute, these titles are going to become fragmented, and I think there's more chance of him winning a title in this division than there is if he sticks around in the welterweight division, because there's some killers in that division. So I think it's probably a wise move. So as you say, it's just a matter of getting those fights in, confidence boosters there. And we do know, I mean, the super welterweight divisions of domestically, we get some great fights, don't we? So, you know, I mean, I know they're looking at someone like a Troy Williams, but for me, Troy, I think he takes that. But, you know, I think if he gets a couple of more wins under his belt, that's certainly a fight he can look at maybe next year.
So we're going to round off the talk of this episode with the announcement that Alexander Usyk and Anthony Joshua are definitely fighting. It is in Jeddah. It is on the 20th of August. I'm very much looking forward to this rematch. I think this was the final topic for this episode, because I really wanted to sort of focus on where this is going to potentially end up, because we've spoke about it recently a few times with the changing in the dates, and obviously is Usyk going to be mentally ready for this because of all the stuff in Ukraine, etc, etc. But now it's all solidified, now we've got it set in stone. Is it going to be revenge, or is it going to be repeat? What are your initial thoughts now it's all been signed, sealed and delivered?
I've said it on another show, and I still believe it. I think Usyk's just got too much for Joshua. I know he's moved with Robert Garcia, isn't he? We alluded to that. And I still don't think, although Robert is, you know, he's been in and around the Joshua camp already, and he will bring something different. I mean, he's got Bam Bam Rodriguez, I believe, Robert Garcia at the minute. So, look, you know, he's got a fantastic fighter there. So he's demonstrating that he is a decent trainer. But for me, I still don't think it makes any difference. I think Usyk, as long as he's mentally right, I think he is. I think that's probably the reason for the delay, to give himself a little bit more time. Like, Usyk is for me the best fighter out there. I honestly love some of these young fighters coming through, and I'm a huge fan of Canelo. We both are, and Crawford and Spence. But just in terms of just Usyk generally, and the way he goes about his business, is just brilliant to watch. It really is. Everything about the fella is just class, when he's in the ring and when he's outside of it. And I think, if anything, this Ukraine thing's going to only help him, and it's going to make him a better fighter, which is just bad news for Joshua. No matter what Joshua does, I mean, he could try and impose himself and hopefully land something on Usyk. That's the only way he wins his fight. Usyk's just too smart, too clever. He will probably identify things that nobody else has, and the mistakes he made in that first fight, and he will change things. He's that good and that clever, that smart, that he will probably realise what Robert Garcia and Anthony Joshua are going to work on to try to beat him. I think he's that smart. He will just nullify everything and anything that Joshua's got. Joshua's going to get tired, and I just think Usyk's got to stop him. I can't see beyond it. Honestly, I think you're going to see a better Usyk. You're going to see a better Joshua, but because Usyk's just another level, he really is. I just can't see him losing his fight, and I do think he stops Joshua.
Yeah, you've said that a couple of times, and to be honest, I'm sort of siding with you. You know, I don't want to write Joshua off, but I think we've talked about Anthony Joshua, and I felt like the writing's been on the wall a little bit since that Klitschko fight. I mean, I suppose I'm looking back in hindsight more than anything here, because once he beat Klitschko, everyone was on top of the world that he'd beaten a guy like Klitschko. Yes, okay, you know, we'd not been as active and whatever, but the way he got the win was people ignored the fact that he'd got dropped and he'd got really hurt throughout the course of the fight because of the way it ended. And then obviously when he lost to Ruiz and he didn't seemingly look very coherent in his corner, yes, he came back and avenged that. And everybody thought, you know, maybe this is Joshua back to his old self again. But the Usyk fight again told us that, you know, he went in there with a game plan to try and outbox a blind boxer, and it just didn't work. So surely the game plan's going to be, you need to impose your will on this fighter. You're the bigger fighter, naturally you're going to put them power punches in. But the problem with Joshua is that unless they make him very lateral and very mobile, which I can't see that happening, then Usyk's going to dance rings around him again. And I think he's going to potentially stop him this time. Like you said, I wouldn't be surprised when you look at the end of that last fight between the two of them. He was on his ass. He was blowing out of his ass, Joshua. And I think Usyk, yes, he was blowing a little bit as well, to be fair to him. But he had a lot more left in the tank than what Joshua did. And I think, you know, back to the days of the old 15-round fights, and I think that would have been a stoppage for Usyk. But yeah, it's going to be a telling factor about all the changes that have been made on the Joshua side. I think that's what we're going to get to find more about, whether it's been a huge mistake him changing all these things or whether it actually turns out to be a master stroke of genius, because it's going to go one way or it's going to go the other. At the moment we're not really 100% as to which way it's going to go, but I think we're both of the consensus that we think Usyk stops him this time round. If he doesn't, he'll comprehensively beat him. I don't want to always go against the Brit fighters, but like we always say, we're objective. We want to look at it realistically and think that Usyk is a sublime talent. He's a once-in-a-generation talent. And I think he beats Joshua the second time around. And I think that's at that point where everybody's left wondering, what does Joshua do next? Whereas Usyk then will maybe somehow be able to tempt Tyson Fury to fight again for $500 million, as Tyson Fury stated in his recent interview. He'll come back again for $500 million. That man would definitely come back for that sort of money. I don't even think he'd just come back for that. I think if they offered him a few hundred million or maybe 150, 200 million, I think he'd come back for that, to be honest with you. I think he still wants to fight. It's obvious he still wants to fight, no matter what he says to everybody, Fiore. I think he just wants to have that one last hurrah. I think he wants that one last big, huge win to go away, as we said on the episodes a couple of weeks ago. He wants to complete that legacy in his mind that he can do this again. I mean, what a story it would be, essentially, if he was able to then go on to become undisputed once again, twice in his career. You know, I think that's the story I think he's trying to tell. So I do think he'll be back. I do think he's waiting for the winner of that. And whoever wins it, we will get to see Tyson Fury coming out, as he openly does, and starting to find ways to criticise whichever fighter wins the fight and look at putting his name back out there and stoking the anticipation for a fight between him and the winner, because people are going to want to see it. People will pay to watch it. Ticket sales will do immensely great. Pay-per-view buys will do immensely great. They'd be stupid not to have another fight against the winner of Joshua versus Usyk. That's the way I see it personally, anyway. But it's down to him to make that decision. Personally, I think he takes it. I think he takes the winner of Usyk Joshua, and we finally might get to see an undisputed heavyweight champion for the first time in years.
Yeah. Just to correct myself, as I said, Robert Garcia has always been around. He hasn't. Angel Fernandez is the guy I had in my head. So, Robert Garcia coming. So, yeah, just to correct myself there. But look, I still don't think that matters. And I think Tyson Fury, I mean, for me, him stepping aside and saying he's retiring, I think that's all that's done is maybe beg the question, oh, is he coming back? Oh, we want him back. We need him back. And then, if anything, it generates extra more money for Tyson Fury to fight the winner. I think he will fight the winner. I think that is just inevitably what's going to happen. And I can see Usyk Fury. I can. I can't see Joshua. You know, on a selfish point of view, I want it to be Joshua. You know, I will be cheering on Joshua on the night. But you know, there's sometimes we just get these special fighters. You know, when these special fighters come over here and they take on our guys, with all the will, we want them to do well. But sometimes, you know, you've got to make boxing. Boxing's got to come first, and the love of the sport comes out in yourself, and you end up just enjoying what you're witnessing. And I think that's what you're going to see with Usyk. You're just going to see the polished performance from the guy, a better performance. And with it being in Jeddah as well, I mean, we sort of thought that was going to happen.
Add a berry blast off for your day with the new Berry Pebbles. A berry twist on a classic breakfast. Perfect for giving those growing minds a blast of creativity. With the new Berry Way to Pebbles. Yabba dabba do you with Berry Pebbles. Head to postpebblescereal.com to learn more. Yabba dabba do and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements, copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
I don't like that type of thing. I don't quite understand why Joshua wouldn't want to have this fight over here. I mean, I'm not sure how much of an influence Usyk was. I want it to be in Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you know that yourself, Sean. But for me, I think it needs to be in this country, in a stadium. What is it? Is it because Joshua's worried? Does he feel more pressure when the crowd are behind him?
It's money, isn't it?
Someone... Yeah, it's weird. You would, for me, as a person, you know, I'm sure if we're all in that situation, you would want 80,000 fans screaming for you, the extra 10,000 scattered around Ukraine fans. That's going to help you, is it not? You know, being the home fighter with that crowd. I just wonder if maybe Joshua feels a little bit of added pressure by fighting over here. Maybe that's why he's gone there. And maybe because it happened against Ruiz. Ruiz is nowhere near the level of Usyk. Nowhere near. And for Tyson Fury calling him a blown up middleweight, it's disrespectful to Usyk. But I mean, look, he knows himself. Tyson Fury knows that when Usyk wins this fight, he wins, you know, he's in for the hardest fight of his life. Absolutely is. And if people look at the size and they say it's just a blown up middleweight and Tyson Fury is going to get knocked out, you are so wrong. You know, go back and just watch the tapes of Usyk. We've already mentioned Usyk with Poturyev. This guy is just a different mould. He really is.
Yes, he certainly is that. And it will be interesting to see how the next 2 to 3 months play out with that particular fight. But I thought we'd end the show with the talk of that, because obviously it's just recently been announced. It's something that we've been waiting for the official announcement on, and now it's here. Now we can start to speculate for the next couple of months how things will play out, what Fury will do in the aftermath of it. Will he come back? Won't he come back? It's boxing. There's always something that is going on. There's always a change to something. But it's been great to sit down to you and talk about the Poturyev fight. Obviously, you've been away for the last couple of episodes working on Legendary Night Season 3, which is going to drop in a couple of weeks. If you've not already seen the promo on social media, go to the Legendary Night's Twitter page at Legend Night Pod and see the video that we've put together for it. It's on the YouTube channel already. Please go and check it out, and make sure if you've not already subscribed to the Legendary Nights podcast, please go and do it. It will be another 10 episodes, another 10 weeks of great legendary tales. We're really excited to launch it. I can't wait for you guys to hear all these stories. Some of the fights you'll know very well, some of them not so well, but all in all, they've all got great tales, great build-ups, great fights in particular, some of them not the greatest of fights in the world, but the tales surrounding them are absolutely unbelievable. So please make sure you're already subscribed to the podcast on Apple, on Google, on Spotify, wherever you get it, and make sure you leave us a rating and a review for not just the Legendary Nights podcast, but for this podcast as well. You can find us at BTR Boxing Pod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. A final big shout out to the patrons of the podcast. Thank you so much for supporting us. You'll have had ad-free access to this episode. Thank you, as always, for listening to this episode, the Big Fight Reaction, Poturyev versus Smith, and we'll see you for the next episode, a big fight preview for a huge card in Texas.
Podcast Network. Discover a career that matters at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Be part of an innovative team delivering world-class healthcare and benefits to America's veterans. Enjoy robust benefits, work-life balance, and career development opportunities. Join a diverse and inclusive community that values your unique background and skills, a community where nearly one in three of your colleagues are veterans themselves. Apply now at vacareers.va.gov.